the light of faith extinguished, and ask Father Session with Father John Lovell. More and more Catholics today are becoming familiar with the apparitions and message of Our Lady of Good Success. She prophesied that her message would be unknown for centuries, that is, until it was needed. There are many links between this Marian apparition from the 1600s and Fatima. One such connection is explored in this Ask Father.
Praise be, Jesus and Mary. I'm David Rodriguez, Content Director for the Fatima Center, bringing you a special Ask Father session. Today we are joined by Father John Lovell. Welcome, Father.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me today, David.
He is a priest ordained in 2007 for the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, and he is the co-founder for the Coalition of Canceled Priests. Down in the show more notes, we will include information about his apostolate as well as a conference that the Coalition of Canceled Priests will be hosting in June 23rd and 24th in the Chicagoland area. So you can get all that information below. To get into the question, Father, that we have today for you, one of the most striking Marian prophetic visions was brought by Our Lady of Good Success on February 2nd, 1634, to Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres in Quito, Ecuador, South America. Mother Mariana was praying in the cloistered choir loft before the Blessed Sacrament when the sanctuary lamp, that red lamp, went out and she was left in complete darkness. Our Lady then explained that the extinguishing of a sanctuary lamp signified heresy, blasphemy, and impurity that would cause the light of faith to be almost completely lost. And she gave five specific causes for this, as well as saying it would happen in the 20th century, towards the end of the 19th and middle of the 20th century. Of those five causes, if we could just focus on the first one, Our Lady said, quote, "As these heresies spread and dominate, the precious light of faith will be extinguished in souls by the almost total corruption of customs," close quote. And so the question is, has this prophecy occurred? How do you see this affecting the priests and laity, if it has?
I would say that yes, because look, in just the last 60 or 70 years, the customs of the church that have been completely extinguished. I mean, there is no doubt about this, that we're seeing a major crisis. Many have said that the church is always in need of reform, which is true. Many have said that we're in a crisis now, but it's not as bad as others, such as the Arian heresy. But to be honest with you, as Pope St. Pius X says, modernism is basically the synthesis of all other heresies. It's the culmination. And what we're seeing, even starting here in the 1600s, you know, we're shortly after that is the founding of Freemasonry. Shortly after that, we have Karl Marx, him writing the Communist Manifesto. Shortly after that, we have major world wars that plunge the world, basically the 19th and 20th century. We forget that the Napoleonic Wars were very much a world war, you know, up to this point, mass genocide. And we're seeing that light going out across the world. We're seeing that light extinguished on a very real level for those, which is pretty much all of us, have gone through the COVID mania, is that, you know, we're seeing just the desolation of churches. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and when I was born, there were over 450 parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago, which is Cook and Lake County, Illinois. So geographically, Chicago is not that big, but over 450 parishes. You know, you have the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago, Supich, gleefully calling it Renew My Church and hoping to have the parish is down to 200 by 2025. My parish, where I was baptized, received First Holy Communion, was confirmed, closed, gone. You know, I mean, a parish that was over 100 years old, gone. And we're seeing that constantly happen. And I think it's because of the customs. I think it's because of the devotional life and the liturgical life of the church has been altered so much that people are walking away from it. You know, I mean, we're right now, as we're recording this, in the season of Lent. And I try to take Lent very seriously. But how many Catholics know why we call it Fat Tuesday? I'm going to tell you right now, David, in Chicagoland area, because we have such a high Polish and Ukrainian population, you know, we always call it Punschki Tuesday because everybody thinks that it's about Fat Tuesday means about getting fat, eating as much as you can before Ash Wednesday began. But no, you know, Fat Tuesday was about this is the last day that we're going to eat any animal byproducts, not just meat, but any animal byproducts. And so it's gotten to the point now where you even have comedians making fun of things like Easter bunny, Easter eggs. They don't see the connection, not realizing that, well, one of the reason Easter eggs were so important is because people were able to actually start eating eggs again. And if you were a peasant in Europe, that was a delicacy to be able to eat eggs. And for you to give that up was a very hard thing to do. Rabbit. Most people in medieval Europe ate rabbit, all right? It's still considered a staple in Italy and France to eat. I mean, it seems kind of odd to Americans to eat rabbit, but it really isn't. You know, that's something that they gave up. But it's all distorted now, where we don't even understand the importance of the Christmas tree, of the Advent wreath, all right? I mean, all of these customs have kind of gone by the wayside, and yes, we have some remnants of them. And so when we see that Sister has had this vision of darkness, the sanctuary lamp going out, I mean, we're seeing that happening across the globe as parish sanctuary lamps are extinguished. And we need to work in order to be that light to the world. You know, no matter how horrible of a day I have, one thing that always uplifts me is saying the prologue of John's gospel at the end of Mass, at the last gospel, you know, to realize that that light will always be there as long as that we stay focused on it. And I do have to say this, always give credit where credit is due. For many years, I have always, when I was in a parish church, pray in the choir loft. It's a great place to be hidden with our Lord. I learned that from St. Philip Neri. So I love seeing Mother Mariana doing that as well. And always try to remind the lay people that when you enter a church, try to be as quiet as possible because you don't know who's hidden in the church praying, especially up in the choir loft. So when you read that to me, I kind of thought of all the times that I spent up in the choir loft and still need to desperately to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And so I just want to answer the question with, you know, if you visit the Blessed Sacrament on a regular basis, redouble your efforts. You know, if you're able to do a holy hour a week, try to do 2 hours. If you're able to do a holy hour a day, try to increase that to 90 minutes a day. Keeping in mind what your vocation is, and St. Francis de Sales is very specific about this in the Introduction to the Devout Life. You know, don't act like a Capuchin when you're not a Capuchin. Don't act like a Carthusian when you're not a Carthusian. But all of us, no matter what our vocation is, we need to have more time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of that sanctuary lamp.
Indeed. Thank you, Father. No, I mean, a couple of things just came to mind right away, and that's how those customs have so changed. It's so lamentable that in my area, there are parishes that in order to maybe celebrate is the word they would use, in order to celebrate Lent, they have the fish fries on Fridays, but no Stations of the Cross. Those are canceled. And instead, it's a fish fry. That's how the fish fries are so popular, even secular institutions are having fish fries, at least in the area that I live. So that shows us where the customs have gone. And on the flip side, as you're mentioning, Fat Tuesday and even the Carnival that came before it, that name also in Latin comes with carne, the flesh. Vale, go away, right? So flesh is going away, no more flesh meat. That's really where that word Carnival came from. People don't know that either. And to combat the excesses of this Carnival season, even some of the great saints were fighting that. You know, St. John Bosco and others, for example, they developed the church. Church developed the 40 hours devotion, 40 hours adoration. Specifically, that came up sort of to do reparation, offer reparation for the excess of Carnival. And so that's something we can encourage maybe at our parishes, talk to our priests, see if they'll host a 40 hours adoration, which is not easy because you have to have people in front of the Blessed Sacrament, as you were talking about, Father, you know, for 40 hours straight. But it certainly is wonderful for reparation. And again, there's a parish nearby where I live that's doing that. So.
Yeah, and keep in mind that the Roman tradition in the city of Rome is that the 40 hours happens on Shrove Monday and Shrove Tuesday. You know, I mean, how many even traditional Catholics know what Shrove means, to be shriven? You know, I mean, I think so many times, and I encourage Catholics, I realize that we're filming in Lent, but many might listen to this after Lent. Please don't wait until the last week or two of Lent to go to confession. You should be going to confession during Septuagesima, before Ash Wednesday begins. Lent is supposed to be a time to do penance after confession. And we need to really get back to that. And you're absolutely right. Carnival was about, you know, making sure we got rid of all the last bits of lard, all the last bits of things in our larder, emptying it out. And, you know, before Septuagesima, Festival was, you know, basically saying we're saying goodbye to the Christmas and Epiphany season. And now we're turning our attention into that pre-Lenten season of Septuagesima. Well, the Novus Ordo Church, you don't even have Septuagesima anymore. Talk about not being ecumenical, because the East, the Byzantines, they still have Septuagesima. Why on earth would we get rid of something like that? To prepare yourself for Lent, you know, it's so important. So when I say custom and devotion, I'm not talking about just the so-called little things. I'm talking about liturgical practices that go back to the first and second century of the church that we just willy-nilly got rid of, and we need to bring those back. And we can't wait for the bishops to do it. You know, I often have many Catholics say to me, oh, well, you know, in England and Wales, the bishops finally mandated every Friday of the year is to, you have to give up meat. All right, the old tradition before the current canon law. We should do that here. Well, guess what? You can start doing that now. You don't need a bishop to tell you not to eat meat, to give it up on Friday, to restore that wonderful custom, that wonderful tradition. How about this? Doing a penance on Wednesday, doing a penance on Saturday. You know, I mean, that is the Roman tradition. Our fast days are Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And to do penance, especially on the first Saturday of the month for Our Lady, that's what she wants. And somebody asked me, can we sum up the importance of the first Saturday devotion in one word? Penance. It's as simple as that. And we live in an age where we can go to vegan stores and the grocery store has plenty of food, that we don't have to worry about making sure we don't eat meat or anything like that. We live in a country that's of an abundance where we can easily pick and choose what we're going to eat. And to say that we can't do something a little bit more serious for the 40 days of fast, the season of humiliation, I just don't buy that. It's easier now than ever to actually do that type of penance for a healthy adult. You know, I always like to tell people, look, everybody needs to fast more. Always make sure you double check with your doctor. But I always say this, I don't know of a doctor that's not going to tell an American, you know what? Might as well cut back on the fat and the carbs because it will be good for you. You know, every doctor is going to say that. Eat healthier. And that's what Lent produces. But we shouldn't be eating healthier just for our sakes. We should be doing it as a penance to prepare ourselves for the resurrection.
Right. And all those penances, we can offer them up, as you said, in reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Right. That is what for Saturday. On that note, I want to mention to some people, because you might see this after Lent, there's still time to do reparation and penance all year long. The Fatima Center does have a calendar that we put out, and we've done that. We've gone back, and in the days, what we'll do is we'll put traditional days of fasting. So not just Lent, but we'll indicate what the prescriptions of the church would have been back in 1917 when Our Lady appeared. Because, of course, at that time, Our Lady was saying, do penance. So obviously, Our Lady would have been saying the minimum penance that the church law required in 1917. Which, of course, our laws have been completely changed. Our customs from that quote have been changed. And so there's so much less penance being done. Almost like the least we could do today is at least try and go back to what the church was asking us to do in 1917. And so that's one of the reasons why the Fatima Center puts its calendar out that way. But you can't get it through the Fatima Center. I do encourage people, because that way all year long, you know, Ember Days and Rogation Days that come up, the different vigils of the big feasts that are also days of penance and fast and abstinence, you're reminded by it. You have that visual reminder through this calendar, because we need those too. We need those reminders.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned the Rogation Days. Those happen specifically in the Easter season, right before Ascension. 3 days of fasting and pilgrimage. You know, the Ember Days of summer always, always happen during the octave of Pentecost. You know, and there's that, what's the best word to use, that dichotomy, that friction between feasting during an octave, which is an important thing to do, but then the church still says, no. Pentecost, we're still going to have Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday for those Ember Days, and we need to bring the Ember Days back. You know, we talk about ancient customs. That's one of the oldest in the Roman Church, and we desperately need to get back to that. We should have a Ask Father segment just on Ember Days. They're so important.
I'll make my note. But I think we've reached the end of this one, Father. So if you have any concluding words, or also if you give us your blessing, please.
Dominus vobiscum.
Ecum spiritu tuo.
Benedictio Dei omnipotentis Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Descendere super vos maniat semper. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, Father. May God bless you. We hope to see you in June.
Yes.
This question and answer has been brought to you by the Fathom Center. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. To send Father a question or to support this vital apostolate with a donation, please visit our website at fathoma.org or call us at 1-800-263-8160. It is our prayer that by the intercession of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, this answer may help you to know, love, and serve God better. Our Lady of Good Success, pray for us.